in, we're in the middle still of Perek Yates, I think it is. Yeah. And where are we? In this volume, it's Kuf Samach, the Hinei HaChosid Kazeh, Milvad HaAvoda.
It's
on page 105 in the... Where? 105. 105, okay. Okay, excuse me, I don't feel good. I don't know what. Also, a portion of my family are leaving tonight to move to the States. I don't know if the two things have to do with each other, that I don't feel good. So I'm not going to be my usual effervescent, joyful soul. So, huh? Thank you. Okay. V'hine hachosid kazeh. It's interesting that what we're going to speak about has a little bit of shaychus, not to my physical condition, but to the other. V'hine hachosid kazeh muvad ha'avoda shu ovid b'maisa mitzvosov ala kavona azos. Aside from the chosid, who serves the Ravona Shalom with all of the conditions that we mentioned up until now, hine vaday shi itstayr tamid tsar mamash al Yerushalayim v'lachorban. That kind of person whose motivation in serving the Rabbanu Shalom is because he has such tremendous love and he wants to do what's good for the Rabbanu Shalom in this world and be marbek vodo, right, will constantly be upset over the fact the way things are now, where the kvod shamayim is diminished because of the churban, because of no Beis Hamikdash, and because Klal Yisrael are amongst the nations of the world and looked down upon or whatever, instead of looked up to as Avdei Hashem. Mitzad Mashe Zeh Goren Miut Kibyoch Lechvod Yisborach. Since this chassid, his motivation in Avodas Hashem is paramount to doing what will bring more kavod to the Rabbanu Shalom in the world, because he has such love for the Rabbanu Shalom that he wants to, that everybody should love him, that everybody should respect him. So therefore, he, what's it called, Yisave Legula, will constantly be looking forward to when will come the day that the Kvod Hashem will be at its peak, when the Geula will come. That what he quoted before, the Tzarat Ve'eliyahu of describing the avoda of a chosid, part of it was, right, that he should, what's it called, constantly be misonain on the state of affairs of the churban and the galus, and constantly want and wait and hope that the geula come. U'misavel neitzel kovod shalai. V'yispal tomir al geulas b'nei Yisrael, v'hashavas kovod shamayim le'ila. He'll constantly daven that Mashiach should come, that the geula should come. Right, because this is his main thrust and main motivation in Avodas Hashem. The Im Yomar Adam, for whatever the person says, Mi ani uma ani sofun shespal Yerushalayim. Who am I? What am I going to accomplish? Right, the Rav Shalom is going to listen to my tefillos because I daven and Mashiach is going to come. Right, amitnei tefillos yitzmach haYeshua. So we said already that the Mabid asked this question. Right, who do we think we are, bichlal, even as a tzibur, to daven when tziburim way before us of much greater people daven and didn't bring the geula? So his answer is that if any one generation or one tefillah would bring geula, it's a good question, but it's the hitstabrut, the accumulation of all the doros and all the tefillos. So if they accomplish 99.99%, I can do the 0.01%. That's what he said. He says a different idea, which will open up an idea that's important to understand. Chuvaso Basido, he says the answer to that question is, who am I? Do you think that my tefillahs will bring the geula? Why I should daven for the geula, that the kvod Hashem is so on such a low level, and Klal Yisrael are looked down upon by all the nations of the world, right? And it's a terrible situation and the covet of the Rabbanu Shalom, and therefore Rabbanu Shalom, please bring the geula because of my tefillah. What can I accomplish? So what's the answer? Ka'osa shishaninu. A person has to feel differently. He has to feel that the world was created for him, and the Rabbanu Shalom created the world for one human being, and every human being is significant. You never know, right? And a person has to maybe not feel legabe his personal gaiva that way. Legabe his personal gaiva, he has to feel anochi elfer ve'efer, I think one Chassidish Rebbe said that a person has said two pockets. In one pocket he has Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, and the other pocket on Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. When it comes to benefits, he's Ofer Ve'efer. When it comes to responsibility, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. So I am responsible to do whatever I can to bring Mashiach. Whether I can or I can't is my responsibility. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. So in this respect, he has to daven. The Roshan wants people to do this. Even if in the end he won't do what they want. Because there's a reason why we still have to be in Golis. But just the desire brings Nachas to the Ravon Shalom, which opens up the following. Mentioned where we see this idea that wanting something, even if practically you can't do it, is also beneficial. Okay? It's not just frustrating, but it's very beneficial. Where did I learn that from? From the following. Three examples, but the first example is a Dvar Torah by Yaakov Avinu. It says that Yaakov was punished. One of the reasons why he suffered with Dina being attacked, not why Dina was attacked, but why Yaakov had to suffer when Dina was attacked, is because Lamas Mireyu Chesed, he held back a Chesed from Esav. When he met Esav, he hid Dina for fear that Esav would see her and want to marry her. And that was the last thing that Yaakov wanted, that Esav should marry Dina. So he hid her in a box, and because he did that, he held back from Esav a chesed. Because if Dina would have married Esav, maybe Dina would have influenced her uncle to do tshuva. You can never know the power. Some people say we learn from here the power of a woman. Right? Even little Dina could influence her uncle Esav. It was a big rasha, but the women have a tremendous power. Okay, we'll see that's not necessarily the case. But that's what Yaakov is held responsible for. So the Alter from Slabotka asked the following question. I mean, that's what Yaakov should have done. For the time on Yaakov that he didn't marry off Dina to Esau. Is that what a father's supposed to do? Find the worst Rasha, and that's how he makes Shaduchim? Right? Go to the Tel Aviv bus station, find some, druggie, right, who's in a drugged stupor. Kick him and say, I got a great shidduch for you. Maybe my daughter will have good influence on you. So when you want to marry my daughter? I mean, it's absurd. Right? With all the koach of women or whatever, that's not how you make shidduch. So what was the time on Yaakov Avinu? They didn't want to marry. Says the Alter from Slabotka that Yaakov Avinu did 100% what he was supposed to do. He had to hide Dina. Why? Because on the one hand, maybe Dina would influence Esav. On the other hand, maybe Esav would influence Dina. You can't take a risk like that. So what do you do in such a situation? Shev al tasa. You don't actively go and marry off Dina to Esav. You hide her. That's what he should have done. So what was the problem? The problem was, he said, when he knocked the nails in the box and hiding her, he did it with too much enthusiasm. What does he mean? He means that Yaakov should have said the following. I really would love to influence my brother. And I wish I could. But I can't endanger my daughter in order to do that. So I'm going to have to hide her away. But I really feel bad that I can't marry her off to him. Maybe she'll influence him. But he didn't. He didn't feel that regret that he had to do this. Even though that's what he had to do. And therefore, I think the extension of what he says is, why was it Mida Kenegid Mida then that she was attacked? Because the Ravon Shalom said, I sensed that the reason you hid her away was not because of your concern for her, but because of your lack of concern for Esav. It wasn't just that you were so much concerned about her, but you didn't have a concern about Esav, and that's why you hid her away. If you would have been concerned about Esav 100%, and it would have really bothered you, you had to hide her away, but you have no other choice, that's fine. But it wasn't that you were doing it, you know, with tremendous regret. You did it lackadaisically. So I saw in that it wasn't so much your concern for your daughter, but rather lack of concern for Esav. If that's the case, the Mida Kenegi Mida was she went out the next day or after that, and she got, what's it called, attacked. So the Rosh Hashem said to Yaakov, if you're so concerned about your daughter's welfare, how did you let her go out in a situation where she'd be vulnerable to be attacked? Why don't you protect her? Elamai, you weren't so concerned about the protection of your daughter. Baharaya, she could go out and get attacked. Right? So that showed Yaakov that maybe there was something missing in the way he functioned. What do you see from there? Yeah.
And how did the Alter Slobot know that Yaakov
The, because Chazal say he was punished for it. So all he's doing, it's a good question. Rav Moshe Feinstein, has a taina on Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch in a similar thing. I answer your question. Now, this has nothing to do with what we were talking about. It's a side thing, but it's a good question. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch says, there's a medrash that says that when Esav and Yaakov grew up, so they both went to school, both came home from school, and went until they became bar mitzvah. And when they became bar mitzvah, this one went out into the fields, and this one went to learn to base medrash, and people could see who they were. Until then, nobody paid any attention. They both went to school, came home from school. You couldn't really see the difference between Yaakov and Esav until they became bar mitzvah. And that's the source of the Boroship Torani. A person has to be metapel with his son till he's 13. After that, Boroship Torani, right, the kid already gets his own character or whatever. Okay, that's a medrash. Says Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, this medrash is not just a story, it's a critique of Yitzchak and Rivka. Meaning that how could you send Yaakov and Esav to the same school and that it should be good for both of them? A school that's good for Esav would be like a field school, hands-on, learning Shechita and whatever, right? A good school for Yaakov would be a place where he could sit within four walls and pore over Sfarim or whatever. What's good for Yaakov would be oppressive to Esav and vice versa. So how could they send them to the same school and expect both of them to turn out okay? So it's a critique of Yitzchak and Rivka, of how they dealt with these kids. They both went to school, both came home from school, right? And then at Bar Mitzvah, this one went this way. A little bit was the problem of the education they got. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you can't say such a thing. Right? The Medrash doesn't intimate that they did anything wrong. It's just the Medrash. It doesn't say that Yitzchak and Rivka did anything wrong. To create sins of the Avos and Imahos that the Torah and Chachamim don't speak about, right, is a tremendous avla. He says, last night by the Ufruf, so somebody spoke about Noach and started explaining what Noach was, and he was Miktani Amon, and he was influenced by the generation of people who didn't believe the Mabul was going to come. So one of the Rosh Hashivas there said that he was once at a simcha. And somebody got up and started saying also, explaining and psychoanalyzing one of the avos of something they did that was, you know, problematic or whatever. And the guy got up and he said, I make a macho, that's my grandfather you're talking about. Right? And I'm moche, right? Who gives you the right to talk about my grandfather like that? So I, the Maisa here, the Alter from Slobodka does it. There's a very big difference. The difference is that here Chazal said that Yaakov did something wrong. He was punished. That his daughter, he had to suffer from his daughter's being attacked. So Chazal already said that there's something wrong with what Yaakov did. I have a right now to try to explain that. Okay? And you have to be on a badrega to be able to explain it properly. Right? Not like some people, you know, treat the avos and imos like, you know, your neighbor next door, and what's it called, which is a terrible avla. They make them sound like they're not only like regular people, but worse than regular people. Right? And there are rabbanim that do that, even in writing, and that's wrong. But to be able to understand on their level what the problem was, like over here, that's okay. Where Moshe Feinstein says about Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch is, that medrash doesn't intimate they did anything wrong. So you're creating something that Chazal didn't say was a chet on the avos, and you're creating a chait, that's wrong. No, the Maaser of Shamshon Fol Hirsch was a great person. So whenever I say this over, I say that, look, I couldn't say that. But if Shamshon Fol Hirsch says it, he can defend himself even through Rav Moshe Feinstein, so let them fight it out. But I'm going to tell you what Shamshon Fol Hirsch said, because he said it. Okay. But you're right, there is a difference. In this case, it doesn't apply. because here the Chazal said that Yaakov did something wrong. What I learned from that is the following. It doesn't only matter what you can do, but even if you can't do anything, feeling that this is what the ideal is positive for a few reasons. One reason is, I'll give you an example. I said this over to people who are going into Kiruv. You can't always be Makarov the whole world. Because sometimes, in order to be Makarov people, you're putting yourself and your family into danger of being influenced. Instead of you being the one doing the influence, you're going to be influenced. So not every situation can you go and change the world and be Makarov people. Sometimes you have to say, I can't. My hands are tied. I can't do it. Just like in the physical world. A doctor can't do everything. Sometimes he has to throw up his hands and say, I'm not God, and I can't control the situation. Right? And there's nothing I can do for this patient. And same thing in spiritual. Sometimes you have to say, there's nothing I can do. What people have time is, well, why don't you do something and be more flexible or whatever? I can't stop my Torah. Right? I can't change the Torah, you know, to make people happy. If somebody can't get married because they're ushered to get married because they're mamzerim or whatever, I can't change the Torah and be makar of these people or whatever, or people are not Jewish and all of a sudden I'll make them Jewish in a way that's not right. I can't do it. You know, they have times on Rabbanim, when they have times on doctors. Doctor, this person is dying of Rahman al-Islam of some terrible disease. Why don't you do something? I'm not God. I can't do everything. Right? So just like in the physical world, you can't do what you can't do. In the spiritual world too, there are things that are, these are chukim, this is the way it has to be, and not every rabbi can just change it. Right? He's not the balabos over the Torah. But there are people today who want that. They want rabbanim that can, you know, magically just bend the halacha because it'll make people, it'll be better, it'll be what's it called, more acceptable or whatever. That's right. Rabbanim are not the balabatim over the Torah. They can do what they can do. They can't do what they can't do. You can't just, you know, when it comes to the Torah, people think it's flexible. You know, as long as you do whatever you want, you'll find a way to make it okay. You can't, just like a doctor can't find a way to cure people. That's the metzius of the world. So, you can't necessarily be makarov to everybody, and you're not allowed to go into situations, many times not. But it should bother you that you can't. Right? For two reasons. One that I always like to say, and now I see from the Sushi a little bit different idea. The one I always say is, if you really feel bad that you can't do anything in this situation, then when the circumstances are positive, you will do something. Because the only reason I'm not doing anything now is because circumstances don't permit me. But if the circumstances become those that I could do it, then I'll do it. But if I don't feel bad that I can't do it, I just don't do it. I'm not interested. I'm not going out and being Makara people because it doesn't bother me. Then even if the circumstances are ideal to do it, you won't do it. So therefore there's an idea to want to do something even if you know you can't. Because then when you can, you'll do it. But if you don't have the desire, even when you can, you won't do it. That's one reason. And the second reason is because the feeling itself is a positive thing. Not only are we judged on what we do, but we're judged on what we want to do also. Machshava tova, kodesh baruch mitzarfa lemaisa. And therefore just wanting to do this, even though I know lemaisa I can't. But ratzon wise, I'd love to be able to makarev my brother Esav. Practically speaking, I can't take a chance with my daughter, and therefore I'm not allowed to do it in this situation. But just the feeling that I want to do it is a positive thing, and has a positive effect on the whole universe. And it's what the Rebbe wants me to feel. He may not be what he wants me to do, but at least he wants me to feel that. That's also a positive thing. What you do and is not the only thing you're judged on. It's what you feel also. So both of those things are important. Another idea where I use this same idea, side by Kiruv, is by people in Chutz Loretz who live in Chutz Loretz. So if people, you know, I sometimes speak about the milas of living in Eretz Yisrael, and I tell to people, why did I come here? To make you feel bad? Make you feel frustrated, right? And most of you are not going to pick up and move to Eretz Yisrael. You have jobs, you have a million different reasons, family, or whatever, where you can't pick up and make aliyah. Okay? So what am I doing here? To make you feel bad? Right? To make you frustrated? Better I should speak about the milos of Chutz Loretz or whatever, make you feel good. So what I tell them is this idea, right? If you live in Chutz Loretz and you realize you're missing something, there is a mila of living in Eretz Yisrael. Right now you can't do that because you have family constraints, you have parnosa constraints. There's a million positive, legitimate reasons not to move to Eretz Yisrael. There, you can look in to dwell in the palace of the preface, and it says there that there are legitimate reasons not to move to Eretz Yisrael. Right? I'm not an advocate that everybody has to move to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow before Mashiach comes. Not true. Not true. Anybody who says that, it's not true. But there is a milah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, so what is the idea of hearing this? The idea would be that as long as the circumstances are such that you can't do it, so you won't do it. But if you have that tremendous tshuka, I wish I could live in Eretz Yisrael, except circumstances prevent me, and they're legitimate circumstances, then when the circumstances change, and I won't be any more constrained by the circumstances, I'll go. But if I have no reason to ever think of going to Eretz Yisrael, right, I'm very content living in Chutz Lars, my love living in Eretz Yisrael, then even if the circumstances would be the most ideal circumstances, I'll never go. Why should I want to go? So there's an idea of, even if you can't do something, but realize what the ideal is. Even if you're not going to bring Mashiach and the Gula is not going to come, but at least daven for it and realize that there's such a thing, that you should want such a thing. That this is the ideal. Where you're living now, the way we're living now is not the ideal. That's also positive. In addition, what he says, aside from the fact that when the circumstances will present themselves, you'll be able to do what you want to do, even though right now you can't do it because of circumstance, but just wanting to do it is a positive thing. Right? Living in Chutzal and wanting to be in Eretz Yisrael, right? It says that who are considered people who are born in Yerushalayim, Echad hanolad ba, the echad harotza lirosa. Something like that. That's not exactly the Russian. But it means not only somebody who came there, or was born there, but somebody who lived his whole life in Chutz Laretz. And he couldn't come to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Russia, and he couldn't make aliyah. It was impossible. But he had a desire that if the circumstances would be positive, he'd go the next day. Then it's considered like he was there. Because machshava tova, kodesh baruch hu tzarfa l'maisen. So that's also positive. It's positive to want proper things even if you can't do them. Because wanting them in itself is a mila, and wanting them then, when the circumstances change, will mean that you'll do it. If you have no desire, then even if the circumstances are ideal, you'll never do it. So for both of those reasons, and it applies to people living in Chutz Laretz, it applies to people going out on Kiruv, knowing you can't always do it, but at least feel bad that you can't. Because then, when you can, you'll do it.
It's Moshe Rabbeinu.
What?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
That?
Going up and longing for the land, looking out at it.
Yeah, okay. Same kind of thing. Same kind of thing. There's other reasons too, but that also fits there too. I think it's an important lesson sometimes. And even, what's it called, even in Shalom Bayis issues, in issues where a person knows that the way I am now, it's difficult for me to change because of circumstance. But if I could, and the circumstances would be ideal, I would want to change. That person at least has a chance of changing. But if you never have the desire to change, right, applies to your tum also, right? People have a desire to change, right? Even though right now circumstances prevent them, someday maybe the circumstances can be changed. But they have no desire, they don't feel there's anything different, there's no ideal. This is the ideal situation. This is the way it should be. Then no hope of a person ever changing. So it applies to, across the board, to a lot of different things. Okay. Therefore, if a person davens and he says, I really want the geula to come, right, and even if the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to bring it, circumstances don't permit it, but at least you did your part. You showed your desire, which is a positive thing, right? And the Hinehem also is Shalom, because the Baruch Hu Sameh, and the Rosh is happy. Right? You're not going against his will. You want what he wants, except he knows that right now is not the time. But he ultimately wants that, so your wanting it is a positive thing.